All right, good morning, everyone. Calling the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order this day, Tuesday, October the 7th, 2014. This would be a good time for anyone carrying any type of device, a telephone or PDA that's going to sound off, to put it on silent for now. And then if you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first up is item number 3, discussion and possible action, the approval of the agenda for this date, October the 7th, 2014. Any discussion to be heard? At this point,
Okay. Motion to approve.
I'll second that motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for this date, October the 7th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next up is item number 4, discussion and possible action, the approval of the minutes for September the 2nd, 2014. Any discussion on those minutes? Hearing none, call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Next up is the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, on item number 5, it should be noted there's just no bucket of blood items on there.
Very good. Thank you. Any discussion on today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda for today's date. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. At this time, we're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Water and Sewer System Board. That being item number 7, discussion, possible action to amend the agreement for the sale of untreated water between Comstock Mining Incorporated and Story County Water and Sewer System. Austin, you going to take the lead on this?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just a summary on what we have here is we have a contract in place already between Comstock Mining and Story County Water and Sewer System for the sale of untreated water. This is water that does not get, or water that's before the treatment plant. It's essentially raw water coming out of the Marlette water system. And they use approximately 26 million gallons of that per year for the purpose of everything that goes on, domestic and non-domestic uses down at the mine and the processing facility. And that contract is hereby really being recommended to be amended. And this would be in connection to the restoration of the five-mile reservoir approximately at the same location, just at the top of overgrade. Comstock Mining is going to go in 50-50 with Story County in the restoration of that reservoir system. And what this contract will do is allow us to pay Comstock Mining back over a period of time in the rates of water that we charge them for the raw water rate. It should be noted this is not a 50-50 or 100% payback. It's essentially we're going to discount the rate that they get or that they pay for that raw water at 65%. And we still receive a 35% net revenue from that water generated from the system that we would not normally get if Comstock Mining either did not exist or did not purchase that water from then and hereinafter. So to give an example, right now in 2014, we pay the state of Nevada 82 cents per 1,000 gallons of water. That's raw water from the system. And we charge $2.39 for Comstock, and the delta of that is $1.57. So in essence, what we're going to do is discount that amount 65% for a period of time. It's going to be about 10.4 years, and it'll be the period of time that it takes for $277,225, the cost that it's going to be for Comstock Mining to put the improvements to the five-mile reservoir until that is paid off. And that's essentially what's going to happen. In that, again, I want to emphasize that we're discounting them 65%, that money is going to the payback of that restoration project for that reservoir. The county is still getting 35% of the 100% in net revenue. So we are not discounting the amount that the state is charging us. So it's not costing the county anything in that regard, and we're still getting that extra net revenue for that. So really what you're looking at here is, in a sense, of interest-free loan, almost being paid back in water fees. This is a type of thing if Comstock Mining ceases to exist in the future, or they their successors, hires, and whatever. This contract will not be renewed to those companies. With Comstock Mining, if they last a year, 5 years, or 9 years, or anything under the 10.4, the remaining balance will be forfeited, and the county will no longer will benefit from all that money that Comstock Mining put into its half of restoring the reservoir. The Divide Reservoir is an integral part of the system. It really it provides about 6 to 8 million gallons of municipal water back up to the system if there was ever a break in the raw water system coming up from the Marlette. And it also provides fire water and wildland fire protection water. Essentially, a helicopter can dip into that and use it for wildland fire protection. So it's a major part of this. I want to divide. There's two portions. There's the 5 mile reservoir, which is approximately 8 million gallons. And then there is another portion, 2 million gallons, for the Divide Reservoir. The Divide Reservoir, located by the building department, is not applicable to this at all. Very good.
If I could add to that, the document that you all are going to be asked to approve has changed from what was in the packet that was distributed to the public. The change, change is I wanted to make it absolutely clear. The agreement we had before was between Story County and Comstock Mining, Inc., and in fact, that was never the case. It was always with the Story County Water and Sewer District or system. So I went through and made sure that this final agreement that you're going to be asked to sign and approve makes that real clear, that it's that we're substituting in as a party for Story County, the Story County Water and Sewer System. And then all the way through the contract, I've made sure that there's no reference to just Story County. All the references are to the Story County Water and Sewer System. And then additionally, we discussed it, but it wasn't in the contract that was provided to the public. But if you look at, we've amended Section 14, the termination, added two sections. One makes it clear that this agreement is between Comstock and Story County Water and Sewer System only, and the agreement cannot be assigned and cannot be passed to heirs or successors of CMI. But if in the event CMI goes out of existence, we would attempt to negotiate with any successor that they had to provide water. And then finally, it adds that if CMI ceases to exist or goes out of business, any credits remaining at that time would be forfeited. So if CMI went out of business tomorrow, we wouldn't be giving any credits to any successor that might be down there. So those are two additions that were made to the contract that was passed out to the public in general.
Thank you for the clarification, Mr. DA. Mm-hmm. Okay. I see that Scott Dolfeber is in the audience today representing CMI. We're prepared to go ahead and take any discussion on this, and I would ask Scott to go later if anybody wants to go first in case you need to clarify anything. So anybody have any would like to talk about this? Mr. Griffin?
Good morning. Sean Griffin. I'm here as a resident. I have concern that by getting into this agreement, we are getting into a fiscal relationship with the mine that could preclude further judgment in the future on other contracts that they may bring before you or bring before the Planning Commission, and it may unduly influence the outcome of those decisions. It's something to consider before you vote.
Thank you, Sean. just to let it be known that this is basically an addendum to an existing contract that we already do have in place with CMI. And so, Ms. Bart?
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. A couple of things. You just mentioned that this is just an amendment of a prior agreement, but that agreement wasn't provided as part of the packet, right? Because I didn't find that. So we don't have a way to compare from what is happening. We're changing it from something to something, so I don't have anything to compare that with.
Except Austin explained already what the changes were made, is it? The water rates stay the same, except mm-hmm. now we're going to go ahead and reduce by credit, not by cash, by credit, 65% of the amount that they pay us.
Okay. Are we getting the $27,000 up front?
Pardon me?
Are we getting the $27,000 up front?
It's $270,000.
Or $277,000 up front?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
So it is a lump sum payment to us in our hands.
It will actually be in a couple of different installments between now and January of 2015.
Okay.
Essentially, they're forwarding that amount of money so we can restore the reservoir, and then it's getting paid back through that credit system.
But they're essentially prepaying their discount.
Right.
Okay. All right. And then I'm always leery when I see the word in perpetuity in any contract. In Article 2, you've got the agreement term. Might I suggest that this come up for review automatically at 5 years? The way it is now, we could all be dead, and this thing just continues and continues. And I think that it is prudent in any contract that there be a formal review. Those are the contracts that I've seen that work successfully. So just saying, in perpetuity does not benefit us or them. And I know that there's provision in here for if the rates go up, if the rates go down, you know, that we can renegotiate that. But in perpetuity is a very dangerous term, in my opinion. The other thing is this will be monitored so that, you know, we know what the consumption is and if it goes up. Do we have a provision for if it goes above the rate that's in this contract, do we charge them a premium on that water?
Go ahead.
Okay, a couple things, Ms. Bard. So I explained in 2014, remember I said that the state right now is charging us 82 cents per 1,000 gallons of water. To give an example of that, in 2015, that rate's going to go to $1.02. So the whole thing will go up respectively.
Right.
With regard to that payback and the discount. I want to take kind of note to what you're saying, and I'd probably defer to legal counsel on that second portion of it, but they're guaranteed to purchase approximately 26 million gallons a year. And so when you do the math side by side, it should come out to about 10.4 years when this whole thing is paid off. Let's say everything goes as planned and, you know, there's no successors or hires or anything like that.
Mm.
So that would be the point when the contract becomes null. The payment is made, everything is paid off.
So this, in effect, is a 10-year contract?
In essence, by that default, it is.
Well, then, again, in perpetuity, I think that we could include language here that says that the contract becomes null and void at such point as that the $277,000 gets paid. I'm just wanting a closed-end contract.
If they use more water than the 26 million, if they use 50% more, then we would expect that contract to be paid up, 7.5 years instead of 10 years.
It's self-limiting.
Okay, so the anchor here isn't that they get the rate for that amount of water. It's they get as much water as it takes for them to spend down the $277,000.
With the minimum floor.
With the minimum floor. Okay. I'm just saying, regular citizens, when caps come in on water, if we go over that cap, we get charged a premium. So I'm just asking the question here, and you're saying there is no cap up to a certain amount from a dollar standpoint. Will there be a cap past that point? These are not clear in the contract, and these are things that can get muddled later.
They're limited per this contract to buying 80 acre feet a year, and that's like that 26 million. So anything over that, they would have to renegotiate with us to get.
And
plus, if you read item 14, there's a
termination clause that says that either party can terminate upon notice to the other.
Yeah.
So we'd probably be limited in terminating before the 10 years that we'd have to pay back what they assisted us with in terms of fixing the reservoir. But
okay.
You have that term perpetuity in the front, but then if you read Section 14, there's a termination clause in this.
Okay, but
and
again,
they're limited to the 80 acre feet.
I'm simply highlighting a hole in the contract that you have the opportunity to time band it, either by forcing a review every 5 years, or if your anticipation is that this gets done in 10, say in 11 years, the contract is null and void unless otherwise negotiated. I think that's prudent for us as a county to be able to do that. The last question I have is, Austin, on your summary page, it says that we will get $40,000 net revenue. Is that less the approximate $27,000 a year payback discounting that we're getting off the $277,000?
No, the net revenue is the amount shown.
So that's after we have given them the discount, that's after our expenses, that's after everything?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, so I can look forward to seeing that as a revenue stream.
Correct.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Dilkover, do you wish to add anything to this?
Scott Chalkover, Copstock Mining. I just want to say I respectfully disagree with Ms. Bard. I think the county's water department head, county manager, staff, and district attorney did an excellent job in review of the contract. There is a termination clause with 30 days notice. Perpetuity gives both the county long-range, long-term good. Somebody's using the water before Carson City takes it away, and gives the mining company the confidence that they can go forward, and, as in the previous contract, the mine gets shut off first if there's any disruptions in the system, et cetera. When she says that if you go over a certain rate, you're charged more as a resident, that's because you're pulling more water through that treatment plant, and that's additional costs. As pretreated water, there are no costs. It's coming through that pipe, whether you use it or lose it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dilkover.
Mr. Wayne, I want to note that this is water that would otherwise not be used, and it's not being treated. So we pay for untreated water from the state at one rate, and we're adding a premium to that and selling it to Comstock Mine. So this is all, it's really found money in the sense that the water isn't being used. We have it allocated from, I think, Marletta, where will we get the water from?
Marletta Water System.
Yeah. And so if Comstock wasn't paying for this at a premium, we wouldn't be getting any money at all for it, and it wouldn't be being used by Story County. So it's all found money in that regard.
Thank you.
I just thank you, Commissioner or Chairman. Just want to reiterate in here, setting the money aside, setting all the aspects aside, what we have in essence right now is in 2003, the 5 mile reservoir was damaged, and since then hasn't been able to hold the 5 millions of gallons of extra water it used to. And remember, this is water that can be used both for municipal use going into the treatment center for many of us in this room using, as well as fire suppression. Because of that, that area hasn't been used. What we in essence have here is the county's ability to pay to restore that system to bring that use back. If we have breaks in the line, how many in this room have received the reverse 911 calls saying stop using water as much as you possibly can? Because all we have is what's in the pipe and what's in the tank. That's it. This will provide an extra, and I correct myself what I said earlier, 6 million gallons in that one reservoir alone. Not only will the reservoir be improved, but it'll be expanded a bit for those uses. So bringing it back to what it was intendedly built for is what's being allowed to occur here with a shared partnership between the mining company and the county, county providing a portion of the payment, the mining company forwarding a portion of the payment, and the county still not only having interest on that money that was forwarded to us by the mining company, but at the same time earning a net revenue off of that water being used. And that money could be reused into improving the system further. So I just want to make sure, really, that's what we're looking at here. Thank you.
One last point Mike Nevin made at one point is that when the two reservoirs are both upgraded so that they're usable, he'll have potentially as much as a month's water on this side of the hill. So if something happened to the pipe, we'd have enough water to last 3 to 4 weeks until we could repair the old line that's probably one of these days going to malfunction. So.
Great. Any other discussion? Hearing none, call for a motion.
Yeah, the only other thing I wanted to mention is that water rights are kind of a tenuous thing to begin with, and if you have water rights, and we have quite a bit of water right, if it sits there for too long, there's always a potential to lose that. And so by doing this, we have preserved 80 acre feet of our water rights. We can show usage, and I think that's going to become a critical subject here. So with that, motion is to approve amending the agreement for the sale of untreated water between Comstock Mining, Inc. and Story County Water and Sewer System.
If you could add to that with the changes that I've mentioned this morning to the agreement that was in the public packet.
And also to approve the list of changes that Mr. Maddox has provided.
And I'll second that motion. Been moved and seconded to approve the amended agreement for the sale of untreated water between Comstock Mining Incorporated and the Story County Water Sewer System. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. At this time, we'll adjourn as the Story County Water and Sewer System and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Next on our agenda today is item number 8. It's a discussion and possible action to approve a bid award in the amount of $880,332 for Public Works Project number ST-2014-323, 5 Mile and Divide Reservoir Rehabilitation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to ask Chuck Reno from Far West Engineering, I understand, has a presentation on this, and will explain all the details. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Reno. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks. It's good to be here. Again, Chuck Reno for the record. I am the design engineer on this project. I work for Far West Engineering. This has been a long time coming, I think. There's been a lot of discussion about how to rehabilitate 5 Mile Reservoir. There was concerns for the embankment on the west, which was breached, and how to reconstruct that. And so as part of our investigation, we did a geotech investigation on that. We had it explored. We had test pits. We have a full geotech report in here in our packet, which discloses what needs to be to reconstruct that embankment on the west side. Additionally, this reservoir at 5 Mile is really the critical one, but it'll impound when done 20 acre feet of water, 20.35 acre feet, roughly at maximum. It could hold nearly 7 million gallons at the rim. So, but we will be running at about 6.6 million gallons at the overflow, and that coupled with the 550,000 gallons at the tank up there, we can impound about 7 million gallons up at the reservoir. This is raw water, and like you said, I am a water rights surveyor, and I agree with those statements. If you do not use water rights, you will lose water rights, and so it's critical that you use this. I think this is a good marriage of providing water rights to Comstock and so forth. The reservoir is going to be enlarged to 265 feet by 300 feet by 16 feet deep. So it'll go a little deeper, and it's going 20 feet to the west, 20 feet to the north, larger. And that'll help. That gets about another 1.8 million gallons from the first. So we thought if we're going to do this, let's enlarge and get the most out of it. It will be lined with HDPE liner. It's a high density polyethylene liner. It has a 40-year life on it, and so we should be able to do a lot with that. Our goal is, I guess I should say, we went to competitive bid. We had four bidders. And A&K Earth Movers was the lowest bidder. Their base bid, we actually divided things into several categories, the 5 mile and divide reservoir, and we put them into what we call the base bid. Their base bid amount was $1,023,566. Since then, we knew we needed to bring it down. We negotiated with A&K. We had some contingent items, which we told them up front that they may go away altogether. And so we did a little bit of negotiating and got down to that $880,000 mark for construction for both the 5 mile and divide reservoir. Again, with these two reservoirs being lined, new inlets and outlets, raw water for the 5 mile, this will be treated down at the divide, but that will be for wildland fire protection and so forth. That it will, it's about 10 million gallons total. And I hope I give a good overview of what we're doing there. There's a lot to this project, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
That's great. We'll ask for discussion, and if you wouldn't mind staying up there.
Sure.
Because there might be some back and forth of questions from the audience. Thank you, sir. Hey, we'll go ahead and take discussion on this now. Who's interested in talking about the reservoir rehabilitation? Ms. Dean.
Kay Dean, Virginia City Highlands. I'm not really objecting to the reservoir, but I did not see an analysis when I looked at the agenda for today and the documents that really addressed how the other failures happened, like in 2003 when a cut was made and compromised the integrity, how the improper compaction was done, therefore it wouldn't hold water. And perhaps this analysis has been done, but to proceed and redo these reservoirs without figuring out what we went wrong the last time, I think, is inappropriate. And perhaps you have this analysis, and it just isn't available for the public. Thank you.
Well, speaking from experience, these reservoirs, the 5 mile reservoir apparently was inundated with weeds, so they drained it, they went and they cleaned it out. And at some time while that was being done, a breach occurred. It's a very old reservoir. I don't know. It's probably over 100 years old. The one on the divide just started leaking for no reason at all. And to go ahead and they used different materials in those days to go ahead and try to put like a clay surface underneath to hold water and things like that. I'm thinking that dilapidation over the course of time they've just worn out their life cycle. The new poly product that they're going to install now is going to be impermeable, and so it's not going to leak. And so this is going to be a remedy to an age-old problem with these earthen reservoirs that we have.
Okay. Well, it just indicated in the document I looked at that when the cleaning was done, a cut was made to assist with drainage, and there was no reference as to why the cut, who authorized the cut, who supervised the recompaction of it after the cut was done, and it indicated that it was due to improper recompaction that it did fail. So that's why I had my questions.
That could very well be. Thank you. Once again, this is rehabilitation of the two existing reservoirs that we have and not building new reservoirs, although I think that with the way we're looking at water issues these days that not necessarily in our county, but in the Sierras, we're going to have to figure out more ways to reservoir water. We look at this huge fire that went off between Pollock Pines and South Lake Tahoe. Like 150 square miles or better, that's almost 60% the size of this county. And so it's all in shambles there now. I read an article on one of the publications the other day that Pottersville, California, down by Fresno, they're out of water. There's over 500 houses that are dry now. They have to bring in portable tanks just so that they can take care of flushing toilets and things like that. So water is a huge issue, and we know that we're fire prone in the county that we live in, and to go ahead and bring both of these reservoirs back online, I think it's imperative to basically the survival of the county, because the helicopter drops it that they can use out of having approximately $10 million of 10 million gallons of available water at any given time. That's good. And when you look at the price that we're paying, it looks a little bit high. But in reference, when we're getting a corporate partner, it was in Comstock Mining, who's putting up $277,000 to help with the project there. Plus, there was another $100,000 on the other side, I believe, on the Divide Reservoir. It came from an NDEP agreement. These are monies that those monies would have never had to come to Story County if it wasn't for the insistence of CMI that it go to the county where they operate. So all of those things considered, I think it's a good project and something we should go forward with. So is there any more discussion on this? Okay, at this time, I'll call for a motion.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Water is one of the major things that we've got to be concerned with at this present time. So the motion then is to approve the bid award for Public Works Project ST2104323 to A&K Earth Movers, Inc. in the amount of $872,000 for the 5 Mile and Divide Reservoir Rehabilitation Project.
And I'll second your motion. He moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Great. Mr. Reno, thank you for coming up. Moving right along now to item number 9. This is discussion and possible action. The approval of resolution 14-410 expressing interest by Story County in obtaining the delivery of effluent generated by the Trucking Meadows Wastewater Treatment Facility for use at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center in Story County, and requesting the City of Reno and the City of Sparks to consider making available the effluent to be transported in a pipeline to Story County. All right. More water, just not fresh water.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Osmond.
What we're looking at here, this is a little bit of history been going on with this. In essence, what you just read is just an agreement of Story County to express interest in potentially doing this. The cities of Reno and Sparks will also have to have their own resolutions to express interest in sharing municipal wastewater. Essentially, what you have here is a portion of wastewater coming from the cities of Reno and Sparks right now get treated at their treatment center, and then they go in the Truckee River. That's it. You're not talking about water in this case. That is extracted from the Truckee River, used, going to the treatment plant, and then to Story County. In this case, you're really looking at water that's in addition to that. It's well water. It's water that's otherwise not extracted from the Truckee River that would go into the system and not necessarily dealing with water rights problems for the Truckee River. So instead of that water going to the Truckee River, we've expressed interest with Reno and Sparks as well as them with us, is potentially plumbing that water over to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center for uses of industrial use. And you could name the amount of uses that would be applicable to this. And so our team in planning has looked at all the easements and the right-of-ways that exist between this, Washoe County and Tri. And for the most part, those are covered. There's about a quarter of that area that we're still looking at some land ownership. There's some history on, trails and things like that exist. There'll be some due diligence on our side to figure those out. But for the most part, three-quarters of it, we know where the easements are. Most of them are irrigation dish easements that exist. Some of them are still being used for the transfer of water, and in this case be used for the transfer of this water as well, even through a plumbing system, a closed system. It should be noted in this that we're working with the Western Nevada Development District, Story County, Reno, and Sparks, and the WNDD, the Western Nevada Development District. For the most part, we're paying for this. This is really a regional benefit. It's something that Reno and Sparks don't know what to do with this water. It costs some money to manage it. Story County has a need for it, and the region benefits as a whole. So it's not just for our benefit.
This agreement is not to make it happen. It's to express interest. And from that point, the Economic Development Authority Director and Pat and our team and Dean Haymore will do a full feasibility analysis of this and study whether this is a good idea or not through feasibility. And we'll go through to move forward on any future resolutions as far as making this happen.
Great. As the industrial center continues to grow, a lot of companies that are looking at relocating or establishing in the industrial center, a lot of them are going to require large usage of water. And so we're talking about water rights earlier on today. It's a major concern. Sometimes there isn't going to be available water rights for fresh water. And a lot of these companies don't require fresh water. They can use the effluent water that's generated out of the treatment plant at the Reno Sports Treatment Center. So if we're going to continue to grow out there, and we are definitely going to continue to grow out there, we still want to be able to capture the companies that are going to require large water usage but aren't going to go ahead and make an impact on the fresh water system. It's obvious today that we're short-staffed here. Commissioner Gilman, County Manager Witten, Haymore, and Hames are out today. They're on location consulting with another company who's interested in relocating to the industrial center. So it's, in a sense, it could be called a roadshow where we go and explain to these to their management team what we have to offer in the county. Mm-hmm. And it just happened. This is the only day they could schedule. Otherwise, they would be here for today's meeting. But with all the press that we've gotten recently, with the announcement of Tesla, it seems like a lot of people are going to be riding on the shirt tails of that company. And there's going to be a lot more of these meetings with big box corporations that want to locate into Story County. So this water issue is going to continue on and on, and it's never going to go away. Does anybody have any discussion on this? Feel free to come up.
Wow.
Hearing none?
This is the water we don't want to drink, right?
No, you don't want to drink this water.
Okay, that's what. Motion then is to approve resolution 14410, expressing interest by Story County in obtaining the delivery of effluent generated by the Kentucky Meadows Wastewater Treatment Facility for use at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center in Story County, and requesting the City of Reno and City Sparks to consider making available the effluent to be transported in a pipeline to Story County.
All right. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution 14-410. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to item number 10. This is discussion. We'll take no action or public comment. This is committee and staff reports. Sherry, would you like to go first?
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. This is my final plug for the Story County Health Fair on October 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right next to our Piper's Opera House. We'll have flu, pneumonia, as well as limited shingles vaccines. United Blood Services will also be on hand doing mobile blood donations. So we've got about 25 vendors lined up for us, so it should be a really good morning. I encourage everyone to come out for that. I'm also very happy to report that after several months working with Community Chest and Carson City Health and Human Services, Community Chest has entered into contract with them for community health nursing. We're happy to welcome Sally Ann Miles, who will be our RN, and Tammy Bauman, who will be our nurse practitioner here in Story County. The hours for the health center will be announced soon. We don't have that available as of yet, but this week they're going to start moving up supplies and such here, so we're very happy to have those two joining us. Look forward to a good relationship there. For those that may miss the health fair on October 18th, we're going to do another flu immunization clinic at the Mark Twain Community Center on October 21st from 4 to 6 p.m. We held a flu immunization clinic in Lockwood a couple weeks ago, and we immunized just under 40 people. So we combined that with the school district and the community, and it was very well received. If any community members have any input related to project ideas for the CDBG program, please contact me by tomorrow. That's the deadline to submit input. We'll be coming back before the commission at the October 21st meeting with our project recommendations. Progress continues to be made on the new front stairs at St. Mary's Art Center. It's looking great. If you haven't had a chance to look at that, you might want to take a look. That was a grant that we received from the Historic Preservation Office. It's a good partnership with the Comstock Foundation for History and Culture. I may have said that wrong, but they're providing some in-kind labor services on that. And then also mark your calendars for the Nevada Day celebration in Virginia City on October 31st. Parade starts at 5:30. The county will have a float in both the Virginia City Parade and the Carson City Parade the day after. So should be a good event to celebrate our statehood. And that's all I have. Any questions?
Awesome. I'd just like to add, because of Sherry's hard work and working with Desi and our planning department, we may potentially have grant monies available, too, for expediting the master plan and getting some assistance with that as well. So appreciate your hard work on that. Thank you.
Yeah, so we'll present a little bit more on that at the October 21st meeting. So.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Ron Engelbrecht, do you have a report today on Mark Twain Community Center?
Thanks, Sherry. Yes.
Good morning.
Ron Engelbrecht, Story County resident. First of all, the Mark Twain Community Center did get a 501c3 IRS recognition. Took a little over a year, but with a little bit of help and some cajoling with the IRS people, it came through nicely. Now, again, with Sherry's help, we have a new board, of which I am the chair. Whether that's good or bad, I guess that's arguable. We do have a big... What was that?
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. But we do have a big pancake breakfast plan for Saturday, the 18th, all right, and the same day as the health fair up here, so hopefully we can steer people from the pancake breakfast while they're big and full, loaded with calories, we can ship them up here. But we do have plans. The computer training center is operational, basically. We just need a few more outlets to make sure we have enough power to handle everything at the same time. So we will be having a computer lab classes and all that down there. I think that's about it, but we'll keep you posted on some other things that are going on.
Ron, right. What time is the breakfast, the pancake breakfast?
8 to 11. And we will be inviting all the political candidates in this 5 or 6 state area to make sure they all show up and they're there. Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Who's representing the fire department today? Is it Patty or? Come on up. Pardon me?
I'm Alvin Ritz-Klingler.
Do you have a report today?
Are
you going to be speaking on an agenda item today?
Yes.
Okay, we'll hold off to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. our financial statements for our internal financial statements for July and August have been out for department heads' review and also for the commission's review. I am anticipating having the quarterly review for ended September 30th on the next commission meeting. The vehicle for which that discussion will take place, I will ask for your advice on that. As you know, last year when we did that, everybody got up and had a certain amount, had some things to say about their overages and shortages and whatever in the budget. I'm not sure if you want to use that vehicle again this year, but we can certainly discuss that. But I anticipate getting those financial statements to the department heads by the beginning of next week, so they have an opportunity to take a look at them, ask some questions of my office about whether they're about appropriations, requisitions, account classifications, whatever, so I can give them some help on that, and then have some sort of a discussion, whatever it may be, at your next commission meeting. Also, in relation to 501c3s, the Lockwood Community Center has given me their final 501c3 to be published, to be sent to the Internal Revenue Service, which I will do today, and hopefully by the next millennium we'll be able to get a letter from the IRS saying that they're okay. So good work on your side.
Thank you, Ms. Gallagher. Sheriff, do you have anything, or do you want to wait till you report? Okay, come on up.
Start kind of on a down note, but then I'm going to work our way up. So I'm sure, as most everybody's heard by now, we had the passing of a longtime county resident and former county employee, Noble Brookings, passed away about a week ago. Fortunately, there's some family issues going on there, but we're working with several interested parties and trying to get a memorial service set up for him. Looking like it's going to be the 23rd, but as soon as that's concreted, I'll make sure everybody gets notice of it. 5 days ago, we had a fatal motor vehicle crash out on the industrial park, single vehicle rollover. It is still under investigation as to what caused the crash, but if anybody has heard about it or not heard about it, it did happen. Horses. Horses came up a few meetings ago, and since then had a meeting with the governor's office and several horse advocacy groups and the Department of Agriculture, trying to push the Department of Ag into something they've been working on for 2 years as far as turning over the management of the wild horses to the local advocacy groups. I just got notice this morning that another meeting has been scheduled for sometime right around the 20th, if they can confirm that with the governor's office. Hopefully we'll get some more progress and there'll be a contract in place soon, and we should see a little bit better management of the wild horses, since right now the Department of Agriculture only responds when there are issues. Hopefully with these advocacy groups taking over the management, you'll start seeing some birth control measures, some diversionary tactics to keep the animals from coming into the populated areas. So good things on the horizon there if we can get that push over the hill and everybody sign the contracts. Street vibrations. Everybody knows it was cold and miserable and rainy. From a public safety perspective, it went off very well. We only had 2 arrests the whole weekend. Those were pretty minor issues. So it was a win from public safety perspective. Had a number of vacancies in the sheriff's office that, thanks to Austin, I had to wait to fill until we got done with contract negotiations. Now that that's done, we have filled the vacant full-time positions. Hired Miss Brooke Jukes in the jail for a corrections officer. Great gal, she's down at the Corrections Academy right now. We hired 3 deputies that were in needed, and they were all in field training. And that's Mitch Hammond, Brandon Azevedo, and Renee Dietrich. All 3 of them had, within the last year or so, had signed up with us as reserves. So they came from the reserve pool and now are going to be members of the full-time staff. Hopefully within the next 2 months, they'll have completed their field training and you'll see their smiling faces out there in the world. Then last thing I have, just as an update, since it's been an issue on a couple of occasions, continue working with Austin. We've got, I believe, the majority of the CERT team taken care of, got most of the paperwork in, got most of the background checks, the fingerprint checks all turned in. So I think we're just got a few little buttons left to hook, and we'll be there. So any questions for me?
I like the idea of bringing your deputies online out of your reserve program. That way they pretty much already know the routine here, and you're not starting from scratch on training them on your department policies.
We've been fortunate with our reserves that we've brought in, and we've brought on some real good quality people. And unfortunately, we don't have that many openings, but those who we have had, short time that we enjoy them for, have been able to get picked up throughout the state, and just time right now that we're able to bring several of them on board with us directly. So, yes, it saves a lot of time in the process.
Perfect.
I think you're definitely on track with the horse thing. I know you and I had a discussion about it. I think that's an outstanding idea, and get the Department of Ag out of the game. I don't think too many of us have a lot of faith in the Department of Agriculture.
Well, they'll still have final oversight of everything, but yeah, we should have a much better response.
Definitely got headed in the right direction with that. And, so I congratulate all of you on that.
Yeah. Keep your fingers crossed, and we may call upon you guys to put forth your influence if it stalls again. So,
thank you, Chair. Mr. District Attorney?
I sort of thought with just a few months left that I would be able to relax a little bit and sort of get around and say farewell to everybody. With Tesla coming up and everything else coming up, I've been really busy. So I feel like an old horse that someone's trying to ride hard and put up wet. So that's what's going on in the DA's office.
Thank you. Deputy DA? Special Counsel Morse? Okay. Mr. Osberg?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as you said, Pat, Gary, Dean, and Lance are down in Clark County looking at a prospective company. I think it's really exciting. The planning department, the numbers are right. When I remember coming in here about 2007, 8, and 9, we're back to the same load. New companies coming in, new things happening, residential things going on, people wanting to do boundary line adjustments and variances, all these things. And we're starting to see an influx of work, and I think it's indicative that Northern Nevada and Story County are able to bring in companies and able to make things happen, as well as hopefully some improvements in the economy regionally and nationwide. So anyway, it's exciting to see that they're down there doing that. Marilee Miller from the Lockwood Senior Center, she wanted to bring to your attention that Home Depot had donated them a barbecue grill, and so the Public Works Department, including Mike Nevin and Jason Versbrinke, are working on a place for storage of that. So they were able to get a pretty nice grill down there they'll use for their activities and all that. At this point, it's still tentative. We've been short a building inspector for quite some time, and the building department is very busy right now with companies out at the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, particularly the Zulily building alone with 750,000 square feet. To give you an idea, what they do out there is they will be on one end of a building pouring finished concrete, while on the other end of the building they're still blasting and chewing into the side of the mountain to build. To give you a perspective of how fast these buildings of that size go up. And that's occurring with our building director, Dean Haymore, and Shannon Gardner, our building inspector, and that's it. And then one person that's staff in the office. Fortunately, we were able to get a part-time person to staff the office with Stacy, and then we may have a full-time building inspector, a second one hired. We're still doing some pending background, things like that, but we believe so far this person will be an amazing fit for both Virginia City and this community as far as the rural lifestyle and the way we do things, as well as the cutting-edge and modern stuff we do at the industrial park. So I know I'm excited about it, but Dean Haymore and Shannon are extremely excited about having a little bit extra work. This person's aware that they pour concrete at 1 in the morning, that sometimes they start at midnight and end at 8 or 9 or 10 in the morning. This is not your standard kind of 9 to 5 type of job for really any of us in Story County. And then, Mr. Chairman, if you like, I was just going to touch on the future board meetings and just provide some clarification on where we believe we're going to be. There's some changes because of the holidays, because of NACO, because of some special things coming up. October 9th, which is this Thursday, we're going to have a special commission meeting primarily dealing with USA Parkway and matters related thereto, and that'll be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then on October 21st will be a regular commission meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then November 12th, which is a Wednesday, that meeting is being moved because of the to canvass the vote, as well as for the Veterans Day holiday that falls on Tuesday. So that meeting will be held on Wednesday, November 12th, and that'll be at 12 o'clock noon, not at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's being moved for various reasons, to accommodate other uses in the building. And then November 18th meeting is canceled due to Nevada NACO. And then the October 23rd Planning Commission meeting, not County Commission meeting, so far is scheduled to not be held due to moving items around and having most things heard in November. And that's just Planning Commission on that last one. And with that said, I have nothing more. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Oliver. That concludes staff reports. So at this time, we'll move on to... Sean, I'm sorry, Sean. My apologies.
But John Griffin, before I begin, I just want to thank Bill and Asa for the clarification on the earlier water agreement. Appreciate that. So some good news for you. I have flyers for the library. We have services now in VC, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, 2 to 7, the first 2 days, and 10 to 3, the last two. We have services in Mark Twain and Lockwood every other week, morning and afternoons. That's a huge step forward. I gave Pat the summary of the statistics about a week ago. We've seen 280 patrons to date. That's more than double what they had seen prior to this time. And that's only halfway through the year. So I'll give you these flyers. We're having our big benefit for the library November 1st, so the night following all the events that you've heard of from Sherry. At Piper's, it's 7 o'clock. It's $20. McAvoy Lane and Shiloh are going to be playing. Stand-up bass and guitarist, that's who Shiloh's made up of, a great group, and they performed all over the state for the sesquicentennial celebration, so they helped to bring a lot of folks, and I'd love to have everybody in the room join us. We have an underwriter for the band and Mark Twain, but we don't have, we're hoping that we can fill the room to sell the seats, because that's where the money will go to support the library, so great news on that. And I want to follow up on what Sherry mentioned. I've been working very hard with Carson City Health and Human Services to close the nursing agreement. You recall when Hawk pulled out, we were kind of left holding the bag. So it's actually going to be much better than we anticipated. We thought for the first year we were going to get a community health nurse, which is someone that does outreach but cannot provide more intensive care, primary care. What we're actually going to get is a community health outreach person every other week, and we're going to get a nurse practitioner every other week. So that's huge. So someone will be able to actually provide primary care after the nurse does the outreach to make appointments for them. We'll be getting the formal schedule to the community as soon as they give it to us. We're tentatively looking at Wednesdays right now. The refrigerator and supplies, et cetera, are all going in tomorrow. And then they'll commence the outreach this month to set up the appointments for the nurse practitioner beginning in November. So it's a huge win and for the community because we've not had real health care for the last 6 months or whatever it's been since Hawk pulled out. We're going to have a big open house at the community center for both the library and the nurse when their schedules are in are firmed up, and you will hear more about that, what it will be in mid to late November. So you'll get a chance to see the setup of the new library, which is, of course, downstairs now, and it's fully open and accessible, all the collection is, and also the community health nurse and their team. We also now have a Healthy Families America early childhood outreach person over there. Soon there'll be a case manager and counselor over there. So we're looking at it as a comprehensive operating community center that will be both health services, library, and all the other family needs. So that's a big step forward for us. In terms of SVG, we have taken that grant over from the county, thanks to Sherry's help and Gary's help at the state. I hope we can continue to operate it henceforward, but their regulations are daunting, so we're just going to do the best we can with it, but we will persevere if we can make that happen. So that's all I have for now. I have some flyers for both the library and the show on November 1st for all of you. And please come, all of you, if you can.
That's great. Shall we commend you and your staff for what you do down there, bringing health care back up on the mountain? And the library program would have never, if the board hadn't abolished the library a few years ago, it would have never expanded to the degree of what you've been able to do today. It just would have never happened.
No, so, that's for sure.
That's right. Out of the ashes, the phoenix rises once again. So,
I'm going to get into the Highlands Diploma and working on trying to make it as accessible as we can.
You're doing a wonderful job. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, moving along now to item number 10. I didn't miss anybody else today. Okay. That was 10, excuse me. Moving on to number 11. This is the board comment. Commissioner Shebagan?
Yeah, I would agree on the library thing. I think that was one of the smartest moves we made, is to shut down the existing system and then allow Sean and his folks to come forward and do that. Last NACO meeting Story County got a huge round of applause for landing the Tesla deal. Showed me that in the last 15 years that Story County has moved from one of the potentially dying counties in the state to into the first place position now, and I think the other commissioners at NACO all concur with that. They are constantly talking to me about better ways to do things. I think it's proven that the county, all of the county staff, the employees here, have always been thinking outside the box, looking for new ways to do things, innovation, the teamwork, and the esprit de corps are just phenomenal. And I don't know what else to say about it. It's just that I think we've accomplished almost a miracle in 15 years of working here. Some of the other things, we've got the short list down on the BDRs for this year. I'll run through them pretty quickly here. 465 would grant the Board of Commissioners to adopt ordinances regulating specific health, safety, and welfare issues. This is another crack at home rule and to get us away from Dillon's rule. The legislature only meets every 2 years, so if we have something come up that is very specific and important regarding health, safety, and welfare, this would allow the commissioners to take action immediately on an item rather than having to wait for permission from the legislature. I think this is going to be if we can get it pushed through, it'll be a good bill. 466, this is provisions on prepayment of taxes on net proceeds. It doesn't really have much to do with us here, but some of the counties were getting prepayment on net proceeds from mining, and then the mines went out of business and they got overpaid and caused a big problem in taxation and between the counties. 467
is provisions regarding prepayment or payment of costs associated with legal representation for indigent criminal defendants charged with capital crimes. This would take a lot of the additional cost out of the county and be financed through the state or other from some other fund. 469 has to do with pre-sentence investigations by the Department of Public Safety, and again, this is something for the rural counties. It could be an expensive thing, and it provides for financial assistance to the county from the state of Nevada. 468 is this is another one that's I think is an important thing. This is another one that falls under Dillon's rule. Authorizes the Board of County Commissioners to adjust the longevity pay of elected county officers. Right now, of course, anyone that's elected, we are bound by NRS to give them pay raises, and this has been a problem in the rural counties. Some of them, because of their financial shape, have not been able to really finance this, and yet the NRS charges them to give these pay raises, and this would take this down to the county level where the county could set the payroll and the pay raises for county employees that are elected. So I think that's going to be a big one. Along with that, we looked at the pay for county managers throughout the state. It would appear that our county manager is a little bit on the shy side when held up against the other county managers statewide. So I think we'd like to look at setting a new amount on our county manager's pay. I know he does work far and above what some of the much, much larger counties are doing right now. Let's see. We have Senator Fettelmeyer is submitting another bill at our request, and this was widely received at the last NACO meeting. It would allow or it would make it unlawful to provide false or misleading information to a meeting of any public body, and that's become a problem, I guess, statewide. So that's it on the BDRs. One other thing I wanted to bring up, for those of you who have not been down through Gold Hill in the last day or two, stop by and look at the work that our folks did on the Gold Hill Depot. They put a safety rail up around that thing, and it just came out outstanding. And it's, of course, is temporary until we come up with a better idea. But really good work. And that's all I have.
That's terrific. Let's see. The legislature goes ahead and they set the salaries for all elected officials throughout the state.
Yeah.
And then it's by county resolution that we set the pay of the staff, per se, of the department heads and your staff. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, and that's what we want to change is that the elected. Let the county set the elected pay, whether they want to raise it, lower it.
Are they proposing that they set the pay or just the longevity?
Well, the longevity is they want to get the longevity
right
make
now.
Make it allowable.
If you're elected, as an example, if I had run again and started a second term, I'd be entitled to 2% a year. Well, right away I'd be entitled to an 8% increase.
And then after that, a 2% increase up to, if you stayed long enough, you'd get a 22% increase on this salary set by the state. So what they're proposing, I think, is to allow the counties to decide what the longevity is.
To decide whether they want to do that. Yep.
Okay. The only comment I have is following up on the sheriff's comments on the working out a horse solution out here. I don't know if there's really a solution.
But
I've been contacted by Dave Humphreys, the Washoe County Commissioner, and they want to get together with Story County as well, because they have a horse issue in Washoe County as well. And whether you like horses or don't like horses, we know that they don't belong in your yard or on the streets or highways. Last week there was a fatality on US 50 between Stagecoach and Silver Springs. Motorcyclist hit a horse, killed a horse, but was ejected into the oncoming traffic lane and got run over by three cars. So yeah. I don't know if he killed by the impact with the horse, but he subsequently died from his injuries. So. These are just bad situations where, you know, with a horse versus vehicle. And
I've noticed in town here several locations now that people have put water tanks out for the horses. And of course, if they've got food and water in town, they're not going to leave. So I think we need to look at that. Stop watering the horses. Because all that does is make them lazy. They stay in town. They got plenty of apples to eat.
Well, there's been a couple of herds in town here for the last several weeks now. So
I think we need to start looking at some of the people that are putting water out for them and make them.
And they don't look like they're starved horses.
No, they're not starving, that's for sure. But I think if we quit watering them in town, they'd leave for a little while anyway.
Okay, let's move along to item number 12. Discussion and possible action to authorize the county manager, the sheriff, and the district attorney to enter into a contract with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the BIA, for housing of tribal inmates. Sheriff?
Don't want to get too terribly excited about this, just because we've been here. This is our third time now. We started talking with the Bureau of Indian Affairs 4 years ago. They seemed to be real interested. They offered up a contract language, and then it kind of fell off into the abyss. About 2 years ago, they hit us up again, asked if we were still interested, told them yes. Never heard anything more about it. Now they come back, they're chomping at the bit, they want to get something going. I don't know if we'll see paperwork on it or not. As far as the contract itself, or the housing of tribal inmates, it would be a good thing. Right now we're averaging 4 inmates a day at the jail, which leaves 21 beds empty. The housing of inmates could generate between $300,000 and $500,000 a year from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, depending on how many beds they consistently fill throughout the time. The contract language that's been offered, we all hold our own liability. We're not indemnifying them. They're not indemnifying us. So there's no liability on our part unless it's something that we do while they're in our custody. They take care of inmate medical, everything like that. Our hard cost a day per inmate is about $7.36. That's what it costs to feed them. Everything else is what we're paying already. Whether I have one inmate, whether I have no inmates, or whether I have a full house, still has to be staffed, still have to have electricity, heat, cooling, all of that other stuff. So our only variable is the actual food cost. And with the rate that we're discussing, $55 a day, that more than covers the cost of the food, so it becomes the opportunity to offset costs in the jail. I've had conversations with the county manager and with the district attorney. PULPAC has reviewed the scope of work. Their only concern was the whole indemnification, and that's being addressed or has been addressed to where we don't share in liability with each other. So I would say it's a good thing, and it's just a matter of dealing with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. It's hot and cold, so that's why we're asking now that for allowance of the three of us to, should we get paper from them, then we can proceed with entering into the contract.
I'm good with it. I think it's a great idea. I always have.
I hate it with net revenue.
Yep.
After housing, which is always good, since that is a pretty good-sized jail.
Yep.
Hold on.
Anybody have any discussion on this? Everybody's good with it? Okay.
I'll move to approve it.
And I'll second your motion.
Chairman, oh. I've just got a clarification.
Sure.
The sheriff's been involved in this thing. I was just taking a look at this thing. And includes the medical. Medical can, and I'm not, it says that the transportation will be included in the tier per diem rate, which means that if we've got to transport people from our facility to somewhere, that's inclusive, or that is included in that $55 rate. Or is there a separate medical, separate from these people, that we could charge back to these guys?
Now, the way that that works, and we've offered this to the Bureau, is they will be primarily responsible for transportation, whether it's to medical services, whether it's to court functions, anything like that. They will be primarily responsible for the transportation. However, if they are unable to provide the transportation, we've offered that should we have staffing available, we can provide that transportation. However, that those costs are reimbursed to us. And that is the same on any medical stuff. The general agreement will be that any tribal inmate will be taken to Indian Health Services for treatment. Of course, in an emergency situation, we take them to wherever we need to take them. But all of that is reimbursable by the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Good. So. Thanks. That's all.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Yoder.
Would it be, Gary, correct to assume that the bulk of these prisoners would fall under Indian Health Service in the beginning anyway?
Yeah, all of them should.
Yeah. So, sounds like a...
The only time that wouldn't be used is if there was an emergency, and then, like the sheriff says, if we had to, then they'd reimburse for whatever we had to.
Yeah.
Well, they'd pay for it. We'd probably get billed to begin with, and they'd reimburse us.
Reimbursable.
Billed, yeah.
That's right.
And that's only if the Indian Health Services wasn't available for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been moved and seconded to authorize the county manager, sheriff, and district attorney to enter into a contract with the BIA for housing of tribal inmates. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff. Okay. Item number 13. We have a discussion and possible action. Approve the first reading of Ordinance 14-259, amending Story County Code Section 3.12.012, updating the plan of projects for the proceeds of infrastructure tax, and providing for other property-related matters. Mr. Morris.
Good morning, Board. Robert Morris for the record. At your last meeting, you made some minor changes to the plan of projects for the use of the infrastructure tax, and NRS has a provision that those changes should go into the infrastructure tax ordinance. So that's what this does. I know I remind the board, and you probably understand this, it's a first reading, which is basically... If you approve it, there's a copy of it that goes to the clerk's office, and then it'll be set for a second reading, which is the public hearing on this bill itself. And if there's any changes to be made, they can be discussed at that time. The other thing that's required by law is that it be read by title, and if it's okay with the board, I'll just read the title into the record. An ordinance amending Story County Code Section 3.12.012, updating the plan of projects for the proceeds of the infrastructure tax and providing for other properly related matters. And so unless there are any questions, I would ask that you take public comment and then introduce this ordinance.
Okay. Thank you. We're up for public comment now. Seeing none, I call for the motion.
Move to approve the first reading of
and I'll second that
14-259.
Very good. So moved and second to approve first reading of Ordinance 14-259. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Very good. Number 14. We're going to go ahead and have some discussion here. Retired Senior Volunteer Program, RSVP. Update on activities in Story County. Hi, how are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry it took us so long to get to you.
Good morning to all of you. For the record, my name is Christine Hughes. I'm the program coordinator for the Nevada Rural County's Retired Senior Volunteer Program. And we asked to be on the agenda today so that I could give you a brief summary of what we have been doing in Story County. First, I do want to thank you for your continued support of RSVP and the RSVP programs, as well as thanking you for being a sponsor, our sponsor, for the Community Development Block Grant. This grant has enabled RSVP volunteers to provide over 2,900 RSVP clients with rides out in rural Nevada. So, and we're constantly striving to increase those numbers, but that grant has enabled us to provide help to those seniors and get them to their much-needed medical appointments, grocery store, et cetera. Also, within Story County, the brief summary I just distributed, during the time period of July 2013 through June 2014, we have assisted 119 residents of Story County. This is through transportation services, home companion, the care law, pro bono legal assistance. We distributed free farmers market coupons to low-income seniors, and we also provided the Phillips Lifeline, the necklaces that you wear in case of a fall. So, and again, we are continually striving to increase those numbers. And so with that, we've had some changes recently. Our longtime field representative out in the River District, Shirley Miller, has retired. Fortunately, we were able to find a replacement rather quickly. Her name is Terry Croxton. She seems really excited, really motivated, and dedicated to increasing the direct services out in that community. And also within the Virginia City and the Mark Twain area, Denise Victorine, who was our field representative, also retired. And so Kathy Bray, who's standing next to me, who is our Lyon County field representative and has a very successful program down there, has taken on the task of being your field representative in this area. So with that, I'm going to let her just kind of give you a brief rundown of what she's done since we brought her on, 2 months ago?
2 months ago. Good morning. Since taking over from Denise,
I was able to recruit a volunteer to help a respite client here in Virginia City. I have received information that we have 3 applications for transportation in Virginia City, and 6 of those are being serviced with drivers. I have been recruiting drivers. I'm working with 2 drivers, and I'm finishing up their applications. So we'll have 3 drivers available in Virginia City to help people get to and from their appointments. And that's it for the moment. My long-term goal is to help get a vehicle and keep it here in Virginia City to help the seniors. And as our core of volunteers grow, they can just pick up the vehicle, transport their client, and return it. And we're working hard on achieving that so we have transportation available to these drivers so they don't have to use their own vehicles.
Yeah, Kathy actually has a van in Lyon County that she is utilizing up here in Virginia City to transport people. Also, we recently have teamed up with Officer Mendoza. He's dedicated to helping us grow the program and identify clients, and we are actually going to be holding some special events in the near future, which will involve RSVP outreach to the community, and he will be presenting a workshop on scams against the elders. So we're going to team up and be doing that over the next month or so. Do you have any questions for me?
No, it looks like you've been doing some really good things, though.
We're definitely busy.
You have a wonderful program.
Thank you very much. And I think that these ladies that have come on board are going to do a fantastic job.
Absolutely. Good.
Well, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Ms. Hughes. Ms. Bray?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving along now to item number 15, discussion of possible action. We're playing October 5th through the 11th, 2014, as Fire Prevention Week in Story County. All right. Now it's your turn.
Wow.
Good morning. Fritz Klinger with Story County Fire, and I'm the fire inspector for the district.
Patty Blakely, our Story County Fire Prevention District also. We're here today to present the proclamation to proclaim October 5th through 11th as Fire Prevention Week. This year for Fire Prevention Week, the fire department will be taking the Story County Fire Safety House to the schools. And this safety house is a 35-foot trailer that simulates a fire and actually fills with non-toxic smoke. So it gives us the ability to teach kids hands-on the sound of a fire alarm, how to crawl low to safety. We teach them to make sure they have 2 exits from every room, have a family meeting place outside, what to expect when they call 911, and Story County dispatchers participate with this as well. Stop, drop, and roll, how to establish and practice fire escape plans frequently, and we discuss other fire prevention education as well when we go visit the schools. We also teach fire prevention and safety with small groups and give the kids a chance to ask questions afterwards. And so I'd like to share that the history of the National Fire Prevention Week has its roots from the Great Chicago Fire, which occurred on October 9th in 1871. The fire burned 27 hours, killed more than 250 people, and left more than 100,000 people homeless, and destroyed approximately 18,000 buildings. So in 1920, President Woodrow Wilson issued the first National Fire Prevention Day proclamation. And since 1922, National Fire Prevention Week has been observed Sunday through Saturday, the week of October 9th. And since 1925, the president has proclaimed a National Fire Prevention Week every year, and it's been the longest-running public awareness campaign in the United States. So this year's Fire Prevention Week campaign, Smoke Alarms Save Lives, testers every month, provides an opportunity to educate the public about the importance of having working smoke alarms and testing them every month. We are committed to ensuring the safety of all residents and tourists in Story County, and we encourage you to do the same and pass this proclamation declaring the Fire Prevention Week in Story County. And we can read the proclamation if you'd like. Okay.
So I'd like to thank Sherry for all of her hard work putting this all together. I think it's imperative that we get this into place to actually promote the fire prevention and be able to utilize the trailer a little bit more than we do. So again, I'll read through the proclamation that we're asking for you guys to sign. So Story County is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living in and visiting in Story County. Fires a serious public safety concern both locally and nationally, and homes are the locations where people are at the greatest and highest risk. Home fires killed more than 2,700 people in the United States in 2013, according to the NFPA, which is the National Fire Protection Association. And fire departments in the United States responded to over 369,500 home fires. Working smoke alarms cut the risk of dying and the reported home fires in half. Three out of five home fire deaths result from fires in properties without working smoke alarms. And one-fifth of all homes with smoke alarms, none were working. When smoke alarms should have operated, but they did not do so, it was usually because the batteries were missing, disconnected, or dead. Story County residents should install smoke alarms in every sleeping room, outside separate sleeping areas, and on every level of the home. Story County residents should install smoke alarms and alert devices that meet the needs of people who are deaf and hard of hearing. Story County residents who have planned and practice a home fire escape plan are more prepared and will therefore be more likely to survive in the event of a fire. Story County first responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire injuries through prevention and protection education. Story County residents are very responsive to public education measures and are able to take personal steps to increase their safety from fire, especially in their homes. And whereas the 2014 Fire Prevention Week theme, Working Smoke Alarms Save Lives, Test Yours Every Month, effectively serves to remind us all that we need working smoke alarms to give us the time to get out safely. So we're asking that you guys sign this into place so that we can prevent the Fire Prevention Week and educate the people within our community.
Perhaps you could give us a little bit of information on the fire districts, what they have in place with the smoke detectors. We see from the resolution here about how many don't work, how many people mm-hmm. die because they don't work, and things like that. What is your program within the fire service for the smoke detector program that you have?
Currently, we're working off of a grant that similar communities around our surrounding jurisdiction are using. And we've been given a bunch of smoke detectors that we've promoted throughout the community. We've gone into residences that want them or request them, and we install those smoke detectors. They're good for 10 years, and it's all free of charge to the resident.
That's great. I knew that. I read it, but I just wanted to make sure that it was said in today's meeting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if there's anybody in here that needs assistance, new smoke detectors, it's the guy to talk to right here.
Well, I know you folks always are congratulated for putting fires out, and I want to congratulate you on the hundreds of fires that never happened in the first place. So I would move to approve a proclamation naming October 5/11/2014 as Fire Prevention Week in Story County.
Okay. Before I second that, I'm going to ask if there's any public comment.
Yeah.
Hearing none, I'll second your motion. So, we moved and seconded to approve proclamation for October the 5th through the 11th of 2014 as Fire Protection Week in Story County. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries.
Thank you. Again, I'd like to thank Sherry Nevin for all of her hard work. She did a good job putting this all together.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All righty, here we go. We're going to move right along now to item number 16 under Community Development and Planning. This is possible action, Licensing Board, second readings.
All right, Mr. Osmer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm reading the letter from the Business License Division of October 6th for this meeting. So at this point, I'm going to start with the continuations first. Community Development is recommending continuation of item G, RDAW Metal Packaging Incorporated. That be continued to the October 21st meeting.
Is that the only item to be continued?
Correct.
Okay.
So moved.
Okay. And I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to continue RDAW Metal Packaging to the next meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Okay.
And the business license is recommending to approve the remaining items A, B, C, D, E, F, H, and I.
So moved.
Okay. I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to approve A, B, C, D, E, F, H, and I. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Did you say aye? All those in favor signify
aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Here we go. This is the best part of the meeting. Item 17, public comments. 15, you're first up. Get your hand up first.
Kay Dean, Virginia City Highlands. I'd just like to put my objection on record to the commission meeting that's going to be held Thursday regarding the USA Parkway. I really feel it should be held at a regularly scheduled commission meeting. Some of us have calendars. I, for one, have a commitment that day and will not be able to attend. And I don't understand why it is such an urgent need that it has to have a special commission meeting for that and cannot be handled at a regularly scheduled commission meeting. Thank you.
Well, I can answer that for you. It's because time is of the essence for what has to take place at that meeting. Mm-hmm. And so that's why. It isn't because we're in a rush. It's just that NDOT and other parties are in a rush.
So. And then why wasn't it on today's agenda then?
Because by the time we got noticed, there wasn't ample time to go ahead and notice it for this meeting.
Couldn't get it on today.
And so that's my point. I think it should have, if there was that little time, you should have waited and had it at the next meeting.
We're trying to accommodate the other persons.
I understand that. So Thank you.
We have to play
by the... We noted your discontent.
But you're invited Thursday.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if it's important, you can be here.
If you'll identify yourself at the podium for the record, please.
Yes, Dennis Bowen, Story County homeowner. I had an incident last year of a deputy and the manager breaking into my home. I called at about 9 or 10 that morning. It was May 8th, and to complain about a utility box. I called the utility company to complain about a utility box. And then an hour later, I get a call from the neighbor telling me the manager's inside my home, and the sheriff's outside, I mean, the deputy's outside the home. So when I get home that day, there's a note taped on my door saying they went into my place because the next-door neighbor's home was ajar. So this has been going on for about a year and a half now. They continue to trespass. They continue to come up there. So in April, I filed a police report on the break-in. And 5 months later, I get the deputy comes up that was doing the investigation, and he said, we did the investigation. We asked the manager She went into your place. She said she did it. End of investigation. Also, the deputy was investigated by the sheriff, and the sheriff said there was no wrongdoing. So since then, I've talked to two lawyers, I've talked to the FBI, I've talked to the state troopers. They all say something's wrong here. As far as what last I heard is the federal's doing an investigation. The two lawyers that are investigated have found at least 15 other problems with this particular deputy that went into my place. I've tried to get Story County on board with this. I've sent letters. I've contacted the deputies. I've called the police department about 10 times. They don't seem to want to come aboard. So I'm hoping today, coming and talking in front of you, and I gave Jerry the reports of the police reports of what happened, and I'm hoping that the county will come on board with me now and do something about it.
When you say that a deputy and manager, a manager, is this an apartment complex?
No, I own the place. It's a co-op. My driveway is about 300 feet, and it's up on a hill, and there's no way you should be up there. And they continue to go up there and back down the driveway, even after they broke into the
place.
Without
getting too personal, can I ask you which neighborhood you live in?
In Lockwood.
In Lockwood?
Yeah.
Okay, so the co-op manager in Lockwood entered your property.
Yes.
Did I understand that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything about this before today, so.
Okay. I'm going to look for some guidance here from you because I don't know what this board can do in reference to this gentleman's complaint.
This board can't do anything. He can ask to have it put on the agenda, mm-hmm. but otherwise this board can't take action on
we
something.
We can't do anything that's not on an agenda.
So what he's going to need to do is make up a request to the county manager to put this issue on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if he puts it on the agenda, it'll be properly noticed and be in compliance with the open meeting law, and then you can take an action if you want to.
Okay.
Like I said, this is the first I've heard of this. So.
Okay.
Okay. I'll get it before Monday, right? And then we could discuss it in 2 weeks. Would that be possible?
The next regular scheduled meeting. Unless it gets remedied after having this being brought out in this meeting, unless it can be remedied before that
okay.
time frame. The district attorney is aware of it now. The sheriff's aware of it. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So get any information you have, get it out to us as soon as possible so we have time to look at it.
I appreciate all you're doing. You're bringing my property value up, and I think it's fantastic.
Okay.
It shouldn't be. No, I mean this is an open forum here, so
yeah.
You're welcome here anytime. Thank you.
Thank you.
Come on up. You bet.
I can think by name, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do know about this a little bit. But you mentioned it.
Okay. Here I am. My name is Bunchy Tyler, and I'm a resident of Lockwood. My trailer was broken into originally. That my door was ajar, which it has been for several years, 2 years now that I know of. And when they were going to come up for the utilities, again, the same thing, they knew we weren't there. I've been harassed by LSE and Western Management in the past. I've been there for 2 years. I did see the sheriff shaking his head. I have sent complaints and handed them to Kenneth Quirk and said, I drove up to Virginia City. Here, Kenneth, didn't know at his time. I want the sheriff to see this, my complaint. That was about 3 weeks ago. I have heard from no one, okay? So then, I filed a criminal complaint. I've heard from no one. I have sent all this paperwork to the DA's office, and I know that it got there. So anyway, and there's definitely something wrong with the system. I was so harassed by John Mendoza. He said that he'd went in because the door was open, first thing, and then the second thing is because he was checking on an elderly person. He had to unlatch that door from the inside. They have my phone number. They know my brother-in-law lives two trailers away. There's something wrong. There was another reason why they went in. They searched the trailer. They, Mendoza calls me at home later and says, what color's the trailer? Are you still married to Joe Tyler? And I'm going, what does this have to do with this? He says, what door do you go in? And then he attacked my handicap. Don't ever do that to me. And said, you can't go up those steps. They're not that good. I can go up those steps, and they are just fine. And then he took my driver's license and checked me out in his radio. He blocked me in the next day, so we couldn't get out. And Dennis Bowen said, are we under arrest? And he says, no. And we says, let us out then. Don't block us in. And he says, well, I'm not done talking to her. And I said, look, Dennis is mentally ill. Don't do this. Let us out of here. And so he did finally move. But actually called my husband at work to ask him if we were still married. And I had never said that we weren't married. I said we were separated and that we have been for 2.5 years. And that's why I bought the trailer. Just in case there was going to be a divorce, I have a place to live. They also took medication out of my trailer. Dennis Bowen is staying in my trailer while he repairs number 44. And if they hadn't illegally went into number 44, it would have never been red tagged. Well, sure, they went into number 44 because my door was ajar. Do you go into somebody else's home because my next door neighbor's door is ajar? That did not make any sense. So the lawyers, I've had lawyers, we've been through this, I just had another one. So I'm up here talking to you folks because of what the harassment, the bullying that John Mendoza did, and I know I've heard other things, but I will tell you from personal experience with John Mendoza, with LLC, and with Western Management, I have gotten nothing but harassed because when I first moved in there, I knew somebody else in the park that they probably didn't approve of. There's other people up there that are repairing and doing work on a trailer and are not thrown out. Okay, so am I done? We will be sending you all the paperwork that we've sent to the DA, the Ombudsman, the Highway Patrol, because I'll tell you, when we talked to the FBI, they said you definitely need to get another agency in there to investigate the Sheriff's Department because something isn't right. Why have I not heard from anyone? And one of their own deputies told Dennis, and we have it in writing, that John Mendoza, and I hate to say this, but John Mendoza is the sheriff's boy. That's what he told us.
Okay, with that being said, you've exhausted your time.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
And a little sum. I know that the sheriff wants to respond
to this.
So
something I'd like to say on it, because I have some complaints also that have been forwarded to me, which I'll get out to the appropriate authority. Work for the district attorney.
Well, thank you.
And so when I send everything, and Dennis and I'll get all our paper and lawyers and everything back, we were told we were allowed to work on that other thing. And
I have heard something about this.
Okay, yeah, I sent you a whole packet, and so if
a long time ago, and we're getting one side of it.
Yeah, so
they can hire all the lawyers they want to.
Okay,
and the FBI is not investigating us.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
your time is up.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Sheriff.
But you just say, I wasn't shaking my head at your thoughts. I was shaking my head towards Bill Maddox because this is a personnel issue and won't be discussed in an open public meeting. It is being handled within the sheriff's office. And it was, like Lunchy said, it was 3 weeks ago that the official complaint came forth. It's being handled by the sergeant. And
my problem, my folks,
Well, the only thing I've heard of is the one that came in 3 weeks ago.
That's the problem, Sheriff.
That's the problem. You can't live in a house that's not suitable to live in.
My number.
And if you get caught in there, that's a crime, and you will see me dead.
It's not legal to break in somebody's house and red tag it. There was nothing.
You want to put it in front of the board files?
You guys aren't doing anything about it. You want to sit here and argue with me?
No.
You don't have to, because you know what? My lawyer's going to take
That's
care of
fine.
It. Like you said, the FBI is investigating.
That's fine. I'll be more.
You guys are just defensive about it. Why don't you do something about it? You're backing up the criminals. Backing up the criminals.
All right. Do we have any more public comment today?
What is he talking about anyway?
Straws. I don't care. Go ahead, Janet.
Dean can go into that, but they're in violation of our safety.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Janet House, Starr County resident. I have a question. I know I have not attended the meetings, commission meetings quite often about the TSCA. I have a question on that basis. As I was, I understand that Story County will lose the revenue of $145 million or greater. That is sales tax, property tax, and other tax credit for 10 years. My questions to the commissioners or to the managers is that how, since we have lost $145 million per year, what are the source of funds and how much is the revenue that Story County will receive for these 10 years that's going to last to recover?
And if I understand your question correctly, you're assuming that Story County is losing revenue.
Yes, it's not assuming. It is, well, lose this revenue because you got a sales tax exemption, sales and use tax exemption, property tax, and then personal tax on that basis.
All right, I understand.
Okay.
Okay. You're saying that we're not losing anything that we don't already have. So.
Well, we don't
have that revenue now. We don't have that revenue now. So we're not losing anything.
But.
Now, they are going to be able to build this facility, and the personal and real properties are going to be abated for 10 years.
Right.
Sales taxes will be abated for 20 years.
Right.
So you're right. We will not receive those tax revenues for the next 10 and 20 years.
Yes.
So.
My question is, these losses of this revenue, what is the replacement?
Well, there isn't a loss because we didn't have it to start with.
Well,
you can only lose something if you already have it. If we had a piece of property that brought in $1,000 in tax revenue, and now we don't get anything, now we have a loss. But if we're not receiving those tax revenues now, and they build something, we're still not losing anything in the future. We're just not collecting anything. It's not a loss.
So you're saying that, as I understand, I may be wrong, I have the material at home. I believe that the constructions will start in 2017. Am I right, Austin?
Construction or manufacturing?
Manufacturing in 17.
Construction is going to start immediately.
Oh, immediately, okay. Mm-hmm. You start immediately, so the building itself will stand up, and I assume that the building itself will be completed in 6 months,
2 years,
or 2 years.
Yeah,
okay, let's assume it's 2 years.
It's 5 million square feet.
Okay, assuming it's 2 years.
They can build a building of 700,000 square feet in about 6 months.
Okay.
Well, one that's 5 million square feet, it's going to take a couple of years.
All right, just say assume in 2 years.
Yeah.
All right. Now, in 2 years, that means if I'm bringing up to my future now, saying that this is current now, the future for 2 years. So the building itself has been built up, and they start operating. Now, we don't get the property tax at all, because the building is there.
No, we don't get any property tax.
Right, right, you don't get any, but
the only exception to that would be is that if the company doesn't perform the way that they said they would, if they don't hire the amount of people they said they would, there's a set of conditions that were placed in legislation that they have to abide by. If they don't abide by all of the conditions, then in fact we would start collecting tax. Although I don't anticipate that, because we think that they're going to meet all of their conditions.
Is there documentation for the public?
It was in the newspaper, yes.
I saw the newspaper, that's why I read it, and it's not very clear.
Well, it was 5 days in a row, so
yeah.
Go ahead.
Ms. Houts, if you wanted to, you can go to the governor's office website, and it's the GOED website, G-O-E-D, Governor's Office of Economic Development. Almost on the homepage somewhere, maybe one behind or whatever, there's a fiscal impact analysis that's provided to the public. You can download that, and it provides you all the answers. It explains what monies won't be provided, what monies will be provided, and all the different aspects of their conditions.
Yes, but that is affected on Washoe Valley's, Lyon County's, because the state itself is for the whole.
But
now my question is now is our losses is on Story County alone. What I'm just asking, how are we going to recover these losses?
I don't understand what we have to recover.
There's nothing to recover.
That means to say you are giving. So why am I my properties not shouldn't be shouldn't have pay? I shouldn't pay the property tax if this company can assess has the assess not to pay the property tax. Why not us?
Well, that's
now you're generating the income on that basis.
Ms. Houts, that's a question you could bring up to the governor, because this is the governor's deal. This was the state of Nevada. This was the governor's office of economic development. They put this whole program together. It's their decision. Now, their decision to give this company a tax abatement for 10 and 20 years is because they're going to be putting a financial investment into the community in this whole area, northern Nevada, in the billions and billions of dollars. They're going to employ over 6,000 workers. Now, if you want to go ahead, the law stands, and if you invest $3.5 billion, you get to go into this tax-free industrial zone. Now, if you want to invest that kind of money, then you don't have to pay any taxes either for the next 10 years. So what they're doing is, this is the carrot to bring these companies in, to go ahead and hire people to reduce our unemployment rate, to absorb all the vacancies that we have of properties, of all the houses in Mark Twain, the Highlands, Virginia City, and the River District, Lyon County, Washoe County. This is what the impact is going to be. It's going to go ahead, it's going to raise everybody's property values. So this is the carrot that the state of Nevada offered to this corporation to build their manufacturing plant in Story County.
So
when you say we're not losing anything, you can't lose something you didn't already have.
All right, you're saying that the state has the control.
They have the control. They passed this legislation at 63-0. Not one legislature voted in opposition to this bill. It was a unanimous decision by the state legislature brought forward by the governor of the state of Nevada.
So are you saying to me, I agree, I understand the
fact. The horse has left the corral in the barn. Where have you been? This happened weeks ago.
I know it's been weeks ago. Okay? But I'm just curious. I know that a lot of residents has been asking too, finding out.
They're only asking you. I don't see them up here asking.
Well, have you looked at the political forums that they have been asking to?
I didn't understand what you just said.
Yesterday there's a political forums.
Yeah.
People ask that too. Because it's not just because they didn't come here to ask you.
Let me ask you this. What do you want us to do? What are you expecting from your board?
No, I'm just asking you all what are the replacements? As you're saying, there's no replacement. Okay. I'm fine. As what you said, There's no appeal because of the state. My question is now.
If you will download the draft of the economic impact study done by the Governor's Office of Economic Development, there's going to be a sheet in there. I forgot on what page it is, page 14 or something. It's going to show you where you go from no taxes in 10 years to where you get an exceptionally large amount of taxes. It's an overwhelming amount. So if you'll simply do that, I think it'll go ahead and enlighten your view on what we're giving up now for what we get in the future.
And I think what Chairman McBride said, Ms. Howells, is those indirect and direct impacts to the region. And so you look at the investment they're making, but that economic analysis provides a discussion of those. And I would definitely recommend taking a look at that.
You strike the word indirect and direct.
Yes.
I agree with you on that basis. But my question now is we waited for this basis.
Okay.
But we cannot do anything on that.
We're at almost 10 minutes with this.
Thank you very much for giving me
And I would suggest in the future, if you have multiple layered questions, as you and other people in the audience do, if you could submit them in writing a day ahead of time so maybe we could do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
That way we don't have to try to dig everything up all at once in a three minute window of opportunity.
I didn't ask for the answer now. I'm just raising a question to you all. On this basis, I just wanted to find. If you cannot answer me, it's fine.
No, I think I did answer you. I mean, I've been pretty well versed on this. You know, I wasn't on the negotiating team on giving tax abatements, but I brought up to speed on how the transaction worked, how everything came together. So that's the best I can give you. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
You know, thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Done?
Really?
Good.
All right. We're adjourned.
Okay.